Hello, Voltron fans. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. Today we're looking at Season 5, Episodes 5 and 6. We're going to talk about Space Mom, Space El Dorado, identity issues, and what the Galra Girl Squad does on their day off. And we have two fantastic guests with us, so stick with us after the opening. And team, it's time to form Voltron!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yep.
Done yep. It.
I was outvoted. I wanted to start with the theme to Road to El Dorado.
In honor of our fallen comrade.
In honor of Funbot.
I'm still having a moment of silence for Funbot.
Well, that's going to be rough when you're on
the first 10 minutes of the show.
Well, that's going to be rough when you're on an audio podcast.
I'll understand.
It's important to stand in solidarity.
Yeah. It is. This is true. Hello, Voltron fans. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are doing the Season 5 finale today, so we're looking at Episode 5, Bloodlines, and Episode 6, White Lion. With me, I have Red Lion, Emma Fife.
I guess I'll break my silence.
You could just wait.
Great to be here. No, I'm respecting our audio listeners.
We could narrate it like Emma gives a solemn nod and acknowledges the audience.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Oh my god. Hi. I don't even know what to say. I'm so flustered.
Just I. Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, excited to talk about the season finale tonight.
And I'm Black Lion, Katie Cullen. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And with us, we have two wonderful people. We have voice of Shiro, Josh Keaton.
What up?
Woot woot.
And we have voice of Allura, Kimberly Brooks.
Yeah! Yay! What up?
Thank you guys. Yeah, thank you guys so much for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for letting us come.
This is two season finales in a row.
I think is it really?
Yeah. Right. I think we're setting a tradition now.
Yeah, it's our signature move. It's what we do. Yeah. Come in for the finale.
That's right.
Come in at the end and finish it. Yeah. And we definitely had that from Allura this season. Holy cow.
Oh, listen, yeah. I know we're going to talk about these episodes, but I just want to reiterate for everybody that I've always really enjoyed Allura as a character. I think she's incredibly well written in this series, and I love how conflicted she is and flawed, but this season was just like elevated her to be in probably my top 10 favorite fictional female characters ever.
Wow.
Because I related so much to her struggle of not being sure if she was doing the right thing as a leader and not knowing if she'd ever be able to live up to her father's greatness. It was just amazing.
It's
all around.
True. Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I love it. It was like a lot, like you said, the writing this for these last two episodes was unbelievable
for
Laura.
Across the board, it was great.
Across the board, but for her storyline.
Yes.
And just, yeah. And,
yeah.
And also Lotor. I thought there was some, like, yeah.
Oh, that Lotor.
I worry about that, man.
Can we talk about, yeah, what your thoughts are on the character development that we've gotten for Allura and Lotor throughout the season? And Shiro as well, because he and Allura tend to have differing views when it comes to when Lotor wants to do something. Sometimes Shiro's the one that sides with him, and sometimes Allura's like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But they're hardly ever on the same page about it.
Well, maybe is Lotor doing that on purpose? Is he kind of...
That's what I was thinking.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying he seems kind of cunning, that guy. So you never know. But
yeah, he is.
Yeah, why don't you start with...
dropping a heavy lifting in my life. All right. What was the question?
About Lotor. Just about...
Shiro and Lotor's dynamic.
Shiro and Lotor's dynamic. Basically, I gotta be honest. Like me watching it just as a fan, like there were some times where like I see Shiro kind of in the background, you know, Lotor's talking and Shiro's just here, almost like the guy with the Secret Service guy. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? It kind of creeps me out.
It creeped me out
to be watching that.
Yeah,
it's okay. But, he's a baby monitor this
season.
Yeah,
there you go. we're talking about character? I'm not
just
all here.
Just talk about whatever. Yeah. Let's go.
I'm in the astral plane.
No, I think it was kind of bringing up this idea that it seems like that Allura and Shiro are rarely on the same page when it comes to LOTOR.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Except at the end here.
Yeah. Like, once LOTOR ascends the throne, that's it. We're good. Everyone's happy.
Yeah. Well, because it was interesting to see. I mean, obviously, there's still some question about who Shiro is. Whether or not he's actually.
Well, he's
himself.
The guy that helped get rid of Zarkon.
Sure.
Which has been his, like, that is number one.
Indisputable.
Yep. Goal.
He did do that.
You are technically correct.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
The real Shiro. I'm pretty sure the real Shiro has been dead since the arena.
I don't know. I feel like the fact that we saw Shiro in the weird Voltron headspace confirms that he is alive somewhere.
Either that, or he's the ghost in the machine.
Or he's just Sven.
Sven is the real Shiro.
In the biggest plot twist ever.
Sven's the OG. I mean, come on. We gotta give it up for him.
I saw a tweet summing it up. That's Voltron fans. Voltron fans during season one. I hope Shiro's okay in season two. Voltron fans in season two. I hope Shiro's okay in season three. Voltron fans in season five. I hope Shiro's okay.
Shiro's got a very, very difficult existence.
Yeah, he really does.
Tell me about it.
But his heart's in the right place.
And the sun is slightly warm.
Well, and I also enjoyed, too, in the first of these two episodes, what was it called? Home something?
Bloodlines.
Bloodlines. Yep, that's the one.
Homelines.
It's called Homestuck.
Blood Homes.
Blood Homes. Anyway, it's the one where they all go to, like, LOTOR's historical home.
Yeah. Hey guys, this is my episode of Cribs.
It kind of was. He had a robot butler scheduled to show them around.
This is my mom's walk-in closet.
I was waiting for the pool shot and everything.
It's
like, Voltron Cribs.
Yeah. But the thing that's
this is my planet juice machine.
However, for me, the thing that was so interesting is it's like once you do have Shiro and Allura being 100% on the same page about LOTOR, Shiro literally does just like slink off into the background, and we really don't see him hardly at all in this episode. It's just him being like, "Well, okay, LOTOR and Allura, go do your Altaian research thing." And
I mean, Zarkon's gone. He needs a break, man.
Yeah, he's
working hard.
Yeah,
your magical royal space quest.
Yeah,
that's basically what it wound up being.
I mean, it was. But I also, in the Magical Royal Space Quest episode, everybody got mad at Lance for talking and made Shiro take him away.
Can we?
That was hilarious.
On the one hand, the buildup to that scene was hysterical. Just the writing in it was very, very funny.
Mm. I think they're all dead.
What?
And can I say that all of that timing was actually done in the booth. I got to be in there while they did that scene, and everybody was just like, fire with that. Like, none of that was really edited to, I mean, I don't know, maybe they took a take from a second, but they did like two runs of it, and each one was hysterical. All the time, it was perfect.
So, did you have to take Jeremy to a different booth for that scene?
I should have done it for the method, but no, we all stayed in. We all stayed in and kept quiet. Wow.
As funny as that was, though, did anybody else kind of feel a little bit unnerved when Lance and Shiro are alone together, talking about how he sort of seems like he's got a Secret Service earpiece in? I was genuinely concerned that if Lance had said the wrong thing, that he could have ended up being attacked in that moment.
I thought Shiro was just going to do it. But it doesn't seem to me that it's the Galra Empire. It's
whoever. It's so much as Hagar.
It's Hagar specifically.
It's the Girl Squad.
Yeah. That's in control of this Shiro. I mean, to what extent, unknown, but they can definitely see through his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very unsettling.
I said he's the baby monitor. And what really
he's
got me...
He's just constantly FaceTiming.
Yeah. Or periscoping.
Yeah, periscoping.
With really bad audio. Did you hear the reverb in that?
It's kind of hard to sit there I'm not going to get into it.
My magic has to work with these human brains, and it's just not working out.
A lot.
But yeah, that
Wi-Fi
scene...
Wi-Fi wasn't good.
Need the right adapter cables.
Yeah.
But that scene, talking with Lance and Shiro saying, "I don't feel like myself," and Lance immediately going, "Oh, it's just the lack of oxygen, you'll be fine." Like, nobody wants to admit that Space Dad is not okay.
Right. Because when the pillar of the team shakes, what happens to everyone else?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why Keith ran away. He's like, can't
see it. I can't look at it.
I'm going full,
I'm a pillar of fire.
Yeah, I'm going full-time ninja now.
People have been, I mean, Shiro's had a lot of these same issues and hang-ups since the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And now everybody's finally starting. Sure. But, I mean, they're really just starting to see this.
Yeah.
I think maybe some of that's going with what you were saying. Who said about the pillar and the team? And the yeah, I mean, they're finally starting to see it, and it's becoming more noticeable, so now everybody sees it even more. But, I mean, a lot of that stuff's been there since the beginning. A lot of his struggles with PTSD and even with Sendak and all of that.
Yeah. And I think that's why Shiro still lives in this space of we're not 100% sure what's up with him, which again, it just speaks to like the really good writing of the series. I was telling Lauren and Makeem that in this season, I did not foresee Zarkon's death at all. That was a complete shock to me. And everything LOTOR did this season was, I'm like, what's happening?
What are we watching?
What's happening?
What is this?
You thought you knew the guy.
Yep. Because again,
did we though?
No, I really did. I felt like they had been setting up that we were going to have this really interesting conflict between father and son of this sort of totalitarian empire, squash everybody, subjugate everyone, and then LOTOR, who rules more with charisma and convincing everybody that he's a great person and you should listen to him.
And a dazzling smile.
And that beautiful hair.
Let's not forget the great hair. But then they killed Zarkon off, and now I'm in this place of, I don't know, I sort of trust LOTOR, but I feel like I shouldn't.
I don't.
I'm really worried about him after the magical space royalty quest.
Right? Yeah.
Because he got so far, and they took the compass stone, like the giant statues took the compass stone. Yeah. There are no do-overs
Pretty
here.
Sure you can't get that back.
Yeah, no. No.
It's an original, right? It's one of a kind.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's gone now. And he stumbles at the finish line. He falls back on his Kalra upbringing, which is something he's been trying really hard to be like, no, I'm going to look into all this Altaian stuff.
And was it
the witch is not my mother.
Was it out of fear?
Ooh.
I honestly think that that's
fear
just
leads to anger.
100%.
And anger leads to hate.
Yeah. And hate. And leads to something.
But he's
maybe trademark of another franchise.
He's also been raised like this for centuries and had it beaten into his head by his dad, who was like, oh, you're not ruling this planet right. Here, let me explode that for you.
Right.
So,
major daddy issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we also see that, you know, there's some issues in terms of his mom as well, because Allura suggests that Hagar might actually be Minerva, and he freaks out.
I think he protested too much.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He's so far in denial,
but I think he knows.
Yeah.
I
mean, he's got real estate in Egypt.
Yeah.
He's so far in denial.
Wow.
Wow.
Have you never heard that?
I've heard it, but I appreciate it when it makes its rounds.
You did it.
I was just gonna say that's not new.
Don't encourage her.
Encourage me.
I always encourage puns. Come on. Look at that. My whole life is a pun.
Dad, it's gonna be dad jokes. Come on.
It's a dad. Yeah.
What time is it?
It's showtime.
It's pun 41. No, 840. No. 840 pun. There we go.
Oh, no.
Technically,
that's my fault.
Fast.
I set that up. That was my bad.
I'll take that.
All right. It's fine. It's okay. We'll get through this.
We're talking about LOTOR?
Yeah. We're super worried about LOTOR.
I do love that this that they're going through essentially Hagar's storage container. I just love the idea of members of the Galran Empire like scouring the universe for all of this ancient Altaian mystical artifacts, and they essentially just end up in Hagar's garage.
Right, exactly.
This is her storage
her
unit
attic.
That she's paying for.
Yeah.
Looking in her medicine cabinet, seeing what she's got going on in there.
It really is her walk-in closet.
Yeah.
Here's the dresses, here's the shoes, here's the ancient Altaian artifacts.
We've never seen Hagar's shoes. What kind of shoes does Hagar
wear?
I
don't know. Yeah.
None.
I was going to say, I was like, either barefoot or flat.
I know.
I'm trying to think. I'm like, did we see her feet when she was on Erva at all? And I don't think so.
No, I think she was wearing, because she was probably mostly in like a space suit. Yeah, she was in a space suit, so it looked like boots.
Well, when we did see those ancient Altaians, the statues of them, they were all barefoot. I noticed that. So
there you go.
Maybe, who knows?
We did see her wearing flip-flops.
Everyone in the chat is saying, what are those?
I can see her wearing flip-flops. Yeah.
Maybe that's why she's so angry all the time.
Yeah, her feet
I put on flip-flops, I get mad. Catch on everything.
Stuff your toes.
They seem like such a good idea because you're like, I can just slide these on and then 5 minutes into wearing them outside in LA.
But I mean, the requisite for wearing the shoe is toe jam. You got right there in the middle.
And not to mention the dirty feet. I can't stand dirty flip flop feet. It's gross. I love your shoes. Wow.
Oh, thank you. My silver shoes.
Yeah, those are nice.
Those are fancy.
Ooh.
Not flip-flops.
They're not on camera. Kick up your leggy.
Kick your leggy. Right.
That is,
yeah.
You're like a Rockette. Right.
Now point the toes.
if we're sticking with the Black Panther jokes, maybe she's wearing sneakers.
Oh, what?
No, I didn't mean to.
We're done.
No, I was making a reference.
That's it.
Guys, that's our show. I can't believe we've done this. Going back to that whole scene with Allura and Lotor going through at the Hagar's walk-in closet, I thought it was really interesting that this was when we see Allura really open up to somebody about her self-doubt. It was so interesting to me that it was Lotor. I mean, I think that it was motivated, of course, partially by the fact that he is
Altaian,
exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
But also the fact that, you know, their fathers were friends and allies.
And
once.
He made some good points. He's a good salesman.
He made
some really good points that he knew would resonate with her.
Yeah.
And then once the markings came, forget it. She was
done.
She's longing for that.
I feel like the fact that he keeps leaning on our fathers did this, our fathers did that, that efficacy is going to wear off eventually.
Yeah. I mean, especially if he screws up or does something, you know what I mean? That's going to wear thin, I think.
But, it's very, very telling that one of the first things he says in Bloodlines is, like, we're going to figure out how to get unlimited quintessence, and Allura, you're the key.
Yeah.
You're literally the most important person in the universe. Like,
wow.
And that was my tipping point of, like, something's up.
But I don't know what you're doing.
Something's up. I did also like that initially when she was confronted with that I found it to be very realistic that she wasn't immediately like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Where's that contestant?
Go team!
She's been through too much and faced too much destruction and failure to immediately be like, we're going to do this. Like,
she's just so realistic to me as a leader who's being forced to make all of these very difficult decisions, especially given the fact that in a lot of this season, you know, again, Shiro is just sort of Hagar's baby monitor.
Well, I mean, she has gotten kind of played for a sap in the episode with Sven, where she sees the other Altaians. And she's like, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and doesn't get for a second that they're actually enslaving these people.
Yes. Right.
And you know, halfway through the episode, finally, you know, Allura realizes. Yeah. But, I mean, that's probably why she wasn't really... Well, I don't know. I mean, I remember from the first episode in this... Was it the first episode in this season where Lotor's actually talking like outside of the jail cell?
She's just staring up at him.
Yeah. She's just staring up at him. Listen, hanging on every word.
Yeah. Lotor under glass.
I do like that they're continuing this through line of her internalizing her father's legacy, because something that really you could tell it bothered her in previous seasons was her inability to pilot the Red Lion.
Yeah.
And that was something she felt not necessarily owed to.
I'm very happy right now.
And then in this episode, it's this self-doubt of like, what if I don't have the same abilities that my father had? Maybe I'm not the key to all of this.
Yeah, but I also like the fact that it's not like a complete replica for her. I want her to have something different. I think that would be greater for her character to do that. But I agree with you that it hurts to watch it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, you're going to do such great things at the same time. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think so much of the responsibility falls on her shoulders as far as like, she does a lot of the heavy lifting and she has failed and she doesn't want to fail. So yeah, there's always that a little bit of that doubt when it's something new and huge like this. I mean, she didn't even know this place existed. I mean, Orion was like, you know,
El Dorado.
Yeah, it's El Dorado.
It's a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale, and none of this is real. So to have that discovery and, you know, I know, I think the thing is, the self-doubt is kind of just, like, I think it's like a venting thing. I think deep down inside, she knows she can do all this stuff.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah,
I do.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
Well, and I think that that's just really affirmed in that, you know, scene where the lion attacks her and she says, I don't want to, I'm not here to learn how to fight or destroy people. I seek the secret to life, and for that I would give my own.
Right.
And then she's in sort of like
the void.
The void. Yeah. And you know, she's like, I want this power. And they're like, yeah, the answer's already inside of you.
Right.
Aww. We're just going to hardwire it into your brain. Have fun now.
Yeah.
No, it was just always. It was always in
her.
It
was all like, and we're like,
just kind of open the floodgates for her.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I got chills rewatching it today.
Were they, were they multiplying?
They were.
It is, but rewatching that, the sheer amount of times they said, oh, yes, they were the life givers. They were the life givers. They were the, like, all right, context clues. She's good at this. Mm-hmm. Lotor's going to murder a man.
To be fair, they
killed a man.
I kind of felt like a lot of the security in this facility was unnecessary. One, most of the Altaians are gone. Two, you need to be, you need to be chosen in order to get through, get past the first lion. You need the hull pass to get past the stone the guardians. You need to be able to access the panel to keep from being crushed. And then you have to fight?
Question the one. Well, there's a lot going on.
Cats are real temperamental. You know, like, cats don't want to be bothered.
Yeah,
and
that's
if
true.
They leave the whole mess of ships all around, then all cats the just going to be chilling.
That's
well,
true.
Well, the
that's
chosen
true.
Thing seems almost to be genetic. Yeah. Like, it's a genetic Altaian lottery, so that's...
Yeah, because Karan doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Poor
was,
man.
He was out. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like any of the Altaians in the other reality had it either.
And I like how they just sort of explained it. Well, like, man, they don't all get it.
I'm sorry, you're just not special enough.
There's a reason why you're not chosen few. Yeah.
You're just not making the cut.
Poor Karan.
Sorry, everyone else gets glowy anime blush, but not you.
Still Karan the Gorks fan.
Yeah, he is.
Listen, he's the only one with that title.
Maybe that's why he has that complex about being gorgeous, because he doesn't have the marks. So he's insisting that he's...
Majestic mustache.
Majestic mustache.
Yeah. But he is a gorgeous
man. He is a very gorgeous man. Rhys Darby is a gift.
Yes.
The world really is.
So hilarious.
But, I mean, I think you're right that it's something that you inherit from your parents. Mm-hmm. It's in your bloodline. Allura clearly inherited it from her dad. Lotor inherited it from his mom. And then we see...
Zarkon, obviously.
Well, and I mean, we see another character this season who's clearly inherited some things from his parent who's been missing, namely a pointy chin and a space mullet.
Yes. Let's talk about other space mom.
She's beautiful.
She is.
This episode had me in all kinds of feels.
I've got a friend who's put together a cosplay of her, and it includes a baby Bjorn with
yes.
a little teeth baby doll holding a knife.
Fantastic.
Oh my god.
It's amazing.
I love it.
Oh, it's god. She might be wearing it at WonderCon, so keep an eye out.
Looks so great.
That's brilliant.
Oh man.
I will hook you guys up on Twitter. But fantastic. No, it's beautiful.
So many great women characters introduced this season.
Even in this episode, there are two Galra generals who are just both awesome and so hardcore. And then we have Crolia. And that's not even getting to all of the Allura and Pidge stuff.
That's another example of I didn't meet these actors because they recorded at a different time.
Right. Yeah.
I read it in the script. It didn't specify male or female, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think it did either.
And so until I saw it, I don't think I knew that it was going to be, those two generals were going to be women. So. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome surprise for me. Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was, like you said, it's just a lot of, like, you know,
And across the board, there's a lot of times in this show, particularly in these more recent seasons, where you do have these characters that there's nothing saying that they're male or female, and they have made the choice for them to be women, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and these two generals had been introduced before throughout the season and throughout the series, actually.
Mm-hmm. And so they were main contenders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah, it's so awesome.
Fleets of their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was fun and terrible to watch, just like this giant destructive fight. It was great.
But I have to say about Krolia is as soon as they introduced the idea of this character and they're like, yeah, Keith, we got this super great spy inside operative. I was like, it's going to be a damn mom.
I was like, and it's a sister or a mom.
It's going to be a blood relative.
You know, and then as soon as like that picture showed up, I'm like, it looks like Keith.
But he didn't get it.
I have to wonder how much his superior knew, because he made a point of being like, hey, you can't make emotional decisions. On a completely unrelated note, here's your next mission.
What I love is that he said that when last episode Keith made emotional decisions and nearly tanked a mission.
Or maybe he didn't know and he's had the same trouble with Krolia and he's like, another one of these? All right, I'm putting these two together.
I think you bring up a good point, Josh, that there is a possibility that he didn't necessarily know. Because I can't remember if it was specified or not in the episode.
Nope.
I just watched it.
Yeah.
Nope. I clearly paid attention. It's true, though, that she is clearly somebody that is making emotional decisions because there's the whole thing of, turn over the weapon in exchange for Keith. And she's like, well, okay.
I left you once. Yeah. I'm not going to leave you either. Yeah. She also knew that the weapon was a giant murder monster.
Sure.
So, you know.
I was going to say, one could argue that she made the absolute best play that she could, given the situation. But yeah, it was an emotional decision.
Mm-hmm. Right. Even though it was a very intelligent, and again, she knew more information.
She had,
than the other people in question. And, you know, Keith gets mad at her and she's like, just trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was Batmaning it.
Yes. She was.
Don't talk back to your
mom. Your mother. Yeah.
It's a very Batman thing to do. I'm like, I didn't kill you directly.
Because it reminded me of like Justice League or Justice League Unlimited when like Batman knows all the information, but he just chooses not to tell anybody and then just lets things work out.
But I love that it literally took her giving Keith his knife back for him to get that it was his mom.
Right.
He did see her deactivate it, and that's when he picked up on it.
It's like, wait a minute.
She said to him,
did you make this thing?
After she already said to him, I left you once, I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah. Like, that's like, not what I like.
Maybe he thought that she was the one that was doing the bombs in the Carl's era.
There you go.
Did I see her face?
I thought that was the other girl.
Maybe I was wrong.
Did you make the knife? That's not the only thing here I made.
And I love the callback with Shut Up and Trust Me.
Oh, yeah.
That was
beautiful. That was great.
Now, an interesting point is that she's, with that, basically doing the same thing that Shiro did this whole season.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because Shiro yells at Lance, everybody gets mad at Shiro, but nobody gets mad at
Wait a minute. Not the same.
Well, and it is very much like mother like son, because she abandoned her family to try to do what was right, and that's exactly what Keith did with Voltron.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
it's kind of what everybody does in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, when they make the decision, when Pidge and the rest of the Paladins make the decision, they're not going home.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty much leaving their families behind to
save
the universe. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
All the cool kids are saving.
I know. Everyone's leaving their family and saving the universe. Come do it.
Speaking of leaving your family and saving the universe, Sam kind of didn't last very long in these episodes. Hello, goodbye.
Yeah. Well, listen, he has to go home and tell Earth that like there might be an alien invasion real soon.
Yeah.
So. By the way, they don't immediately imprison him.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope not.
I'm still.
Hopefully, they gave him like an Altaian weapon or something in case he tries to strap it out of the table.
The garrison turns on him for sure. I'm still thinking that like his wife is probably in the middle of constructing a spaceship in her backyard. All her children are gone and her husband's gone.
Yeah. She found like his his designs and all that stuff. Yeah. And she's putting it together.
I'm sure she's savvy because I mean didn't they talk about the fact that
she
got into modulating arguments?
Oh, that's how your mother
that's
and
how I met your mother.
She's definitely savvy.
Okay, I wonder that's
I would watch that show.
That's
How I Met Your Mother. I
should have
watched.
That's a spinoff right there. There's a spinoff.
But I'm also worried about the garrison now that he's going to be coming back to tell them everything. I'm also worried about that because the garrison will be like, really? And then kind of get into it.
You know? I don't trust the garrison.
Yeah, neither.
No, not even remotely.
They seem a little shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, completely.
I love how everyone's sneaking glances over at us to see if, like, if we can confirm or deny with a look.
We know you
can't. So yeah. for sure.
I give positive looks for, like, the most outlandish stuff.
Yeah, and, like, yeah. You know,
discouraging looks for the stuff that's probably true.
So, I feel really
Or
bad.
Do I?
Because the first time we had you on the show, you're like, I see you guys. Like, you're not getting anything out of me.
Oh, my God. So true.
Hard, yeah, it's hard to, like, good thing I have a really bad memory that helps me in situations like this, but yeah, it's hard not to,
Didn't we have
somebody
just coming back?
Go to the astral plane.
Black Lion disappeared.
Oh, no,
just, oh, no!
Just like the show.
Oh, no.
Wait, coming right back.
Are we recapping? Black Lion's missing.
Listen to me.
Yeah, I know. When the Black Lion was missing, and Alora's like, where's Shira? Where's Lotor? Like, she knew
immediately.
Instantly. Yeah. There were some shenanigans going on.
Speaking of also Batmaning. Where's Rachel?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, so, yeah, talking about how it is difficult to remember, like, because it's such a long period of time between when you guys record and when it actually gets finished animating and then released on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the process was generally recording new episodes, something just dropped, and then we're doing ADR for the next season, and then we're like,
right.
And you just can't keep it straight, and you're not recording in order, and you're recording. So it is still like a surprise when we get to sit down and watch the season like everybody else. It's really cool.
And see it all come together.
Yeah.
And then the episodes that we're not in, we usually don't get scripts for those.
Yeah.
So if we're not in the episode, the first time we see it is when we are watching it on Netflix with everybody else.
Well, and talking about stuff that's in the script, that, like, being surprised when it comes out, I was really surprised actually seeing the so-called secret weapon that they were keeping in this facility. Mm-hmm. It was a sentient being probably tore these Galra soldiers to pieces. Now, they were talking about how quintessence was used to experiment on this thing. Was that quintessence specifically from the Rift? Because they were talking about how it had some weird, strange
effects.
That's effect.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I was assuming so.
Might be quintessence. It's never been seen on the show yet.
It could be quintessence from another dimension.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, since they were trying to dimension hop anyway.
I mean, this is the thing, though, is that with Voltron itself and all of the lions, and the fact that, you know, in terms of the sort of Altaian magic is referred to as alchemy, so there is a level of science involved in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sort of, there's almost exemplified in Alora being like, I would give my life to learn the secrets of life, and that's basically that concept of equal exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, the little alchemist thing.
Yeah. So that's the thing, though, is the lions were created by some sort of semi-magical process, and they are also sentient, so it's not that surprising in a way. It feels like they were doing quintessence experiments along with whatever sort of regular Galra science-y stuff they were doing to create this weapon, and that's how they ended up with this weapon that was questionable whether or not they could actually control it.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look like
it. I guess it'd be akin to a Robeast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a question, too, is because we haven't really seen any Robeast this season. Mm-hmm. They make a point of, like, launching a Robeast coffin, like an empty Robeast coffin into space.
Oh, it's Fun Century. Let's pour one out for Fun Century.
Fun
I call him Funsen.
Funsen.
Because he's the Fun Sentry, but also when they shoot him off, it's like a Funsen burner. It's Funsen.
There's always one episode every season where it's just for last season, I think it was the Voltron show, and then the season before that it was Space Ball. There's always one episode where it's just a ton of fun, and this Funbot was that for me this season.
I know, like, Funbot is.
You're back!
Yeah, Black Paladin came back!
Wait, I had to go initiate stage 5 of Project Quran.
No!
She might be a clone, though.
She's probably a clone.
Yeah, who are you?
Might be. She's FaceTiming right now with Hagar. It's okay.
Okay, wait, what was that? Yeah, all right. Okay. So I've received my new orders. And
Katie Clonin.
Oh, good one. good.
We were talking about Funbot. Yeah, we were just talking about Funbot. Oh, and the mini Robies.
Good time?
No, we just started. We just started. So, can we, like, anytime there's a plot line about a robot learning about the concept of fun,
I love that. That
warms my heart.
Especially, it seems like he already knew a little bit about it. Like, as soon as they program him, and he's like, firecrackers.
Yeah. He wanted to be programmed.
Yeah.
He's been waiting.
Did he learn to love?
I think he learned to love himself.
Yeah.
Oh, this is true.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Well, because don't you have to love to have friends? Like, I think.
I mean, even calling them dum-dums, it was still an endearing dum-dum.
Yeah.
So,
this is true.
And when things went too far, he made sure to make a point to be like, hey, no hard feelings, everybody. Yeah. We're all having fun here.
And he's the one that warned everybody to scram. Like,
I made you necklaces of my face.
I can't think of a greater gift.
I feel like that's kind of a terrifying sociopath thing to do in real life. Hi, here's a necklace of my face.
I give you the gift of me.
After he busted Lance's face up in their crazy chicken fight.
Yeah, I don't know how he thought he was going to win. That's against metal.
It's on a whole different level. We've talked about this.
This is true.
Now I kind of feel sad for all the other sentries that die in this show. Yeah. Because they can all have fun.
They all have the capacity for fun.
It's in them. Yeah. Inside of them. Just like,
but they just need, and credit to Yin and Yang in the chat for reminding me of this, Team Punk to tap into their
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
What a great name.
And my notes just say, cheese it's the feds. Those two poor guards chasing them around.
They had fun.
They were having a good time.
Yeah.
Like, it was great.
They shed tears.
They did. When Bunsen was launched into space.
Like, even if, I mean, you could see that even though they weren't programmed by Team Punk, they still learned something.
I'm waiting for the rest of them to join in after
the
that.
The Galra Empire can change, guys.
That would be the place to put the big musical number. With all the sentries suddenly turning into like the Rockettes.
And, I want it.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we're on like the brig.
They just start doing the can-can.
I want it.
Or like a Scooby-Doo montage.
Yes.
That
might be.
Yeah. We kind of got that a little bit in this episode.
There was a little bit of that montage.
I also have to say that the music that they used to score all of the scenes with Funsen was so good.
I love how it's a thing now.
But it also, because you did have this more, you know, sort of serious plot line of Allura and Lotor talking about Altaian alchemy and Allura dealing with her self-doubt, it effectively created the illusion of continual motion every single time you went back to the storyline of the other paladins screwing around. it was great.
Yes.
And I love that it wasn't like super jarring either. It was enough to like balance through.
Yeah, it was like a fun video game score.
Yeah. It was.
We have Ben in chat on Twitter saying, Shiro, well, time for a nap. Wakes up to see Funbot get launched.
What's that?
How long have I been asleep?
Did the Robie's coffin just explode?
Is that a rainbow?
My favorite detail from this montage is when they were doing the photos. That second one had Hunk in Zarkon's helmet and cape and everyone else in druid getup.
Yeah.
Which is fun and also creepy because all those people are dead now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Ooh, I didn't think of it that way.
Oh, yeah. Too serious.
Ooh.
I'm here to ruin your fun.
That went dark.
Every time.
I live there.
Now you know how I feel.
I appreciated how somebody asked, like, oh, do you think Lotor is going to get mad if we launch this into space? And Pages was
What's he gonna use it for?
Right, exactly.
He has millions of these. It'll be fine.
They're gonna make Zarkon a Robeast, and they won't even have a coffin to launch him in. It's okay. We put him in a different coffin.
They're just gonna have to jettison him just directly into space.
At this point, it kind of is a coffin.
Yeah. That was the joke.
Oh, there you go. And it just went right over my head.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing to touch on is that the Hagar's squad, they don't quite
Hagar
know.
Squad.
They don't know, quite know what to do yet.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
like,
it's really
what
funny
do we
to
do?
Hear, like,
yeah.
Hagar squad.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of like
the GGs.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting though because Aksha has kind of fallen back on we wait for our orders.
Yes.
Whereas the other two are a little bit more ambitious. It looks like it's
what
like, hey,
we can take advantage of around. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't.
don't know if it's so much ambitious as it is they're not good at being idle.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Well, she says you want to go stoke. What does she say? You want to go
throw stuff at the room? Yeah.
I feel like getting things thrown at you by those women is a good way to die.
Yeah, I know. It's painful. Well, it's not like a friendly food fight.
Even when they brought up the idea of, oh, you know, do you want us to try to take over the galaxy ourselves? They were like,
yeah, they're not ambitious.
I think it is idle talk
because even as the conversation is sort of building up to that point, you see the two other crew members kind of look at each other when they're starting to get antsy. They're like, oh, they're gonna start throwing stuff at us.
Whose turn is it to run? Watch out. Who's here to play bait?
Yep. Exactly. And then we end that with Hagar coming to them and saying, yeah, we're going to El Dorado, guys.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Road trip.
Yes.
I think Hagar has a hall pass.
Not anymore.
I don't know.
They stole her hall pass.
She's dead-ish. So...
What is dead may never die.
Yeah.
Rises again stronger.
Yes. I don't know.
Does she have marks? Have we seen her with marks?
She has marks on her cheeks for
sure. But
the glowing ones?
We don't know if they're contour marks.
They're red now.
Yeah. It's probably a fair assumption since Lotor is technically is a chosen one. So it would make sense if he inherited that from his mom.
You have to wonder if being undead walking into a city of life is gonna be interesting, or if she'll just be able to waltz past all of the
Well, I mean, if you're alive when you're dead, that's kind of like ultimate life.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, maybe she's just all that. Yeah. Like,
I don't think anyone gets a free pass in there.
Or the city will try to bring her back to life again.
Or it'll just flood all those memories, like, completely, because we remember how she was slowly trying to remember everything. Maybe we'll just, like...
Yeah.
But she always seems to come up with the power she needs to get what she wants. So,
and also she's very resourceful and smart, so maybe she can just figure out a way to kind of go past everything.
She's had 10,000 years to learn.
And she's been there.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know, man. She's like a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. She has everything to her arsenal.
I love the fact that when she went to go take out, like, the ones that were going to take her out, that it wasn't with, like, magic or anything. Like, she straight up got in the outfit and, like, cut them down. I was like, what? Hagar's like, that badass?
She's like, okay,
I thought it was all just, like, magic.
She's, like, cracking. She's taking her rings off.
She's like, okay, here we go.
You want to go?
Well, you were plotting my demise. I was studying the sword.
How about that?
Think about Hagar saying casting outside. Just makes me so happy.
I feel like that's something we could get Cree Summer.
Oh, she would do it. She would do it.
She would.
I just wanted Jerry Springer episode.
You are the mother.
She's not my mother. She's not my mother. Yeah, Maury all over the place.
The Voltron Jerry Springer crossover.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's our next comedy episode.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Sketch waiting to happen.
Cosplay sketches. Anyway, we're hitting the end of our time, you guys. Do we have final thoughts on this season?
I just hope that I'm curious to see if at the beginning of next season we jump right back in with, okay, we literally just left El Dorado and boom, here's Hagar.
I want to see it cut back to Keith going, Mom?
Wait, you're my mom, right?
I have a mom?
Also put her on the morning public couch.
Most people do.
Wait, how old was Keith when she left?
Probably tiny. I don't think he knew her.
Yeah. I would assume so.
So he doesn't know her at all.
He didn't know he was Galra, so.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess that's,
He doesn't know a lot.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I do love people coming up with, like, how did Krolia and Keith's dad meet?
I know.
And, like, those cute little meet-cute stories.
Okay. Yeah.
Just crash landed on Earth? I don't know. I do want to see your meet-cute stories, though, because...
Yeah. I got nothing. Because multiverse rules, it's all canon somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Alright, we are gonna skip on predictions because we have the next season coming on June 15th, I didn't know when we did our first episode. Because once again, Chromecast has decided that previews aren't important. So for now, if you would not mind taking a look at the iTunes, I am going to turn to our lovely guests and ask if they have
Alexis. No, it's okay. I got another arm.
What do you guys?
And
do you have any projects that you're working on that you can tell us about?
Oh. You go first.
Talk about?
What can we talk
Yeah,
about?
I know. NDA fun, right?
Yeah, a lot of NDA stuff. As far as stuff that's out right now, I'm on also on Netflix with Stretch Armstrong.
Ooh.
I play a douchey dude named Gabe Bannerman.
Oh, that's a great name.
He's a great name. Awful. He's awful, but he's like the kind of guy that you just you love to hate him. So yeah, that's a lot of fun. In terms of everything else is pretty NDA'd out.
Oh my god, I know.
Right. I don't talk about much. I know there's a Justice League Action episode that had Green Lantern in it, and it's a definite callback to the show, same writers, and so that's a fun one. So if you are a Green Lantern the Animated Series fan, check out the new Justice League Action.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have two awesome things that I wish I could say, but I can't. So, but I will hopefully very soon. I'm working on DC Superhero Girls.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yes.
So that's going to be fun. I think that's all
Secrets.
I can say. Secrets.
We're going to be doing a bunch of cons this year.
Oh, that's true.
Nice.
We're going to be at Dallas Fan Expo.
Dallas Fan Expo with Jeremy.
Weeks. And Jeremy is going to be there.
Two of us and Jeremy.
Anybody in Dallas, come check us out.
So there's also going to be some other ones that we are going to be doing with Bex as well. So check our social medias. We'll be posting well in advance of whenever we're going to be going to a con. So we'd love to meet the fans and come chat with us, hang out with us.
Do we have anything new on the iTunes?
Okay, I have a shout out to Gabby Corncats who left us a review that came in on Saturday. The way the app is now it's not very helpful in terms of how it shows
for
the
shame.
Reviews.
The newest
ones are all the way at the bottom.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. You are great. That's the only one I see that would have been new.
Yeah.
Well, we love you too. If you guys like this show, if you would like this show to stay on the air, best thing you can do, go to iTunes, find us on there, rate, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Leave us comments and we will read them on air and give you a shout out because we adore you all. So yeah, if you would like to support us as a show, that is the best way to do it. Thanks again for coming on, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank all of you for sticking with us through the season, and we should be back for next season.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Monitor our social medias, and we will let you know.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of social medias,
you gotta be back.
Yeah,
you
have to be.
Can't leave on that cliffhanger.
I mean, well, I make no guarantees, but we do our best.
Okay.
Emma, where can the people find you?
You can find me all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife, EmmaFyffe.
Alexis.
You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's atorres890. Also, check out, I did an episode on Collider, which I was not expecting.
Yeah,
I
was on Heroes.
Yeah, I was on Heroes.
It's a fun show.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Woo! I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I want to thank the Something Something guys for their fun little Photoshop that they did in the hashtag.
Little something?
All right.
They photoshopped
a lot of something something.
They photoshopped Shiro's arm onto Katie.
Nice.
Nice. That's great.
I love it.
And I am a clone. You can find me all over.
Not somebody should just come out and say it.
I mean, she did.
At least you admit it.
Yeah.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on Twitch and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. Josh, where can the people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Josh Keaton. I'm on Instagram as Space Padre. And then you can check me out on my YouTube channel, which is Josh Keaton. I've just now started posting stuff more regularly. I got that Shiro/Moana crossover song that I put up and that Kimberly was in.
Yes.
And so just check that stuff out and I'll keep on posting.
And I'm at Kimberly D. Brooks on the Twitters and Kimberly Brooks 11 on Instagram. Yes, I remembered. I'm so proud of myself. And that's as far as I go.
And you guys have your upcoming con schedule on your social media?
Yes.
Yes, and I still have a website. It's joshkeaton.com, and that will actually always have an updated con schedule.
Oh, awesome. Nice.
Well, thanks again for coming in, you guys. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank all of you lovely humans for coming on again.
I live down the street. So.
I don't think
Well,
lucky you.
And thank you guys so much for watching and for joining us again this season. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Later, Paladudes.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.